session number 20589, Reel 4.
This is Reel 4, Raymond Wigmore. So, transit camp, and then the day came when you got...
At Hassock, yes. Mm.
Did you know the night before you were going to go the next day?
Well, we didn't know when we were going. We were just on a minute's notice, all packed. All your kit was all packed up. We never had any superfluous kind of luggage, nothing like that, just a battle order.
So how did you get the order to...
Well, I think they told us a night before, and we embarked at New Haven. And that hasn't changed much, New Haven.
So what was it like when you got to New Haven? How did you get there?
I can't remember. We went to Hassock by train, by truck, I suppose.
Can you remember the scene at New Haven? It must have been very
busy. I remember the quaysides, oh yes. Well, I remember being on the quayside, and we got onto this ship. I think it had been a pre-war passenger ferry, and it had been modified, and the landing craft were slung on the side of the ship, and they had cut doors in the side of the ship, or exits, where you didn't get in a scrambling net, thank goodness. And we just walked straight into the landing craft when we eventually arrived off the coast of Normandy.
What was the atmosphere like on that ship?
Quiet.
Was it?
Yeah.
Why do you think it was quiet?
Apprehension, I think. Mm. Oh, it was quite good-natured. Mm. But there was no waggish behaviour, nothing like that, no.
Because you'd heard about the casualties on D-Day.
Yes, we had heard all about that. And I think most people were the same as me. Just hope they would stand up to it.
How long did the crossing take?
I don't know exactly, because we left in daylight and then we spent a night at sea on the ship, presumably static. But then then we landed the next morning.
I
think we had some breakfast, I think. We landed at on Juno. Beach. Juno Beach.
What time of day?
I don't know, can't remember.
Yeah. It's daylight.
It was light.
What was it like getting off that ship?
We went into the landing craft, LCIs, landing craft infantry. You didn't come at the front, you came down the side, down the ramp. I think we... Actually, I've been back to the spot last year. Mm. I took my wife back to the spot.
What could you see?
We landed up, I should say, the water came up to our knees. And of course that sounds all right, but then your legs and your boots and trousers were wet until the next day, because you weren't allowed to take your boots off. Well, nobody took their boots off. But
what was the beach like? What could you see as you came ashore?
The beach wasn't very the beach was, I can't remember, I think it must have been sand. I can't remember whether it was shingle or sand. But the first thing I saw after getting onto the beach was Ashtung Minnan, which is, at that time, I assumed was German for beware mines, danger mines. And there was a narrow alley, a narrow track through this with barbed wire each side that had been swept of mines. All the other, none of the other beach had been swept. And we just went through this gap in the minefield. And then marched.
Were there any sounds of battle?
Oh yes, yes, you could hear the artillery. Yeah, you could hear, they're flying here.
Yeah.
you could hear the artillery, yeah.
And they marched to
We marched to a place called Benny-sur-Mer. Because at that time, I don't think many people spoke French. I know I didn't. And Sur Mer apparently means on sea. Benny Sur Mer.
Do you know what date it was you landed?
Oh, it was about 10 days after D-Day, I think.
What did you see of the villages and the towns and the native French people? Did you?
Never saw a lot of civilians at all, no.
What state were the towns and villages in?
Some of them were damaged, some of them were, you obviously been shelled. But we went to this little village, Benny-sur-Mer. I don't think that had been touched much. But other villages later on had been destroyed, not one brick upon another, not one stone upon another.
Were you shocked by what you saw when you first arrived? Or surprised?
It's just war. It was to be expected kind of thing. It was to be expected. You didn't expect to see people out on their Sunday evening promenades kind of thing. And that was, it was war, and that was that.
So where did you camp that first night? Do you
remember? We went from the beach straight to Benny-sur-Mer, which I think had been a Canadian sector.
And did you stay there for long?
Well, we may have been there about 2 nights, I think. And I suppose they were, What the reason for that was, I think, is that they were waiting for all the heavy equipment and vehicles to arrive that had embarked at Tilbury in London. They embarked at Tilbury. We, the foot soldiers, embarked at New Haven. The heavy equipment and vehicles went from Tilbury in Essex, isn't it? Yeah. And of course they had to meet up.
So who was your commanding officer at this time?
Lieutenant Colonel Hare. Mm-hmm.
Did you see much of him?
Oh, yes, he was always around, yes.
What was he like?
A disciplinarian, yes.
Did he talk to you much, or...?
Up until then, no. After one or two battles, he did, yes. Told us how things were going and that, yes.
Who else did you have as NCOs or officers? Do you remember any name?
Major Florey was a company commander. I'm trying to think of the platoon commander. Roylands, I think. Lieutenant Roylands, I think it was.
Did they try and keep you informed as to what was going on?
Oh, yes, in between actions, yes, yeah. But then you never really knew the big picture. You only knew your what was going on, mate, just a few yards either side of you. You never... you didn't know the big picture.
Mm. So what was the accommodation like there? Were you in tents or...?
Oh, no. No, no such thing as tents. And no, no. No.
Let's stop for a second then. Yeah. This is Raymond Wigmore, Reel 4, continued. So what sort of accommodation were you in? And explain to me how you were living.
Well, no accommodation. You were just in action.
So where did you sleep?
In the slit trench.
So
but I might say at this point that we were a bit green. Very green.
How was that?
Well, we didn't know what to expect. We moved up to a reserve position. Of course, it was all digging in all the time. And up the, what they call the Scottish Corridor, that the 15th Scottish, 51st Highland.
This was from where you stayed the first night, was it?
Oh no, this was about two or three, by what I remember, this must have been two or three days after we landed.
Tell me how you were living. What did the country, you know, what was the terrain like there? And
a very close. Hedgerows, orchards, farms, the fields. The fields were very small compared with England. That was the French tradition of the fields. Seems to have got smaller and smaller and smaller. And but now, we've been back since. Now it's all opened up. All the hedgerows that I knew have gone.
So those first few days, what were you actually doing then? You were living in slit trenches. Those had already been dug, had they?
Oh, no. Oh, no, no.
You dug them?
We dug them. We were allowed to move around a little bit, but not a lot. You're allowed to talk to your mates and that, but you didn't move around a lot.
How far away was
it? Well, I should think we were about 3 miles back then, when we first landed, maybe 3 miles to the rear, until we moved up to until we took over from the 15th Scottish
and where
Division.
Was that exactly? Do you remember?
Where was that? I can't remember the name, in the Eversey area, Eversey.
Yeah. So what was the terrain like there? Was it?
It opened up a bit there. There's Hill 112 was very open, and it wasn't pasture, it was open grassland, kind of. Something like Salisbury Plain, I suppose. Just that one spot, but mainly you had like the Bocage country, what they called the Bocage, was very close indeed.
Was there much evidence of fighting?
Oh yes, yes, yes. Yes, men that had been killed. I'd never seen a dead person up until then.
How did you react to that?
Well, you just accepted it. You were sorry, it was sad, but you just accepted it.
So, what did you do while you were in that position then?
Reinforce the positions. Mm. And,
So how were you doing that?
At that time, we were being mortared, and we had our first casualties. One boy that I knew very well, he had a leg blown off with a mortar. But it was just a defensive position that we moved up to. As I say, we were green, but the ones that survived learnt fast. We learnt fast.
Mm. What happened to that lad who had his leg blown off? Do you remember his name?
Oh, I still see him. I haven't seen him for a couple of years, but I saw him a couple of years ago. Yeah, Brain his name was.
Oh, right. And what happened to him? Could they evacuate?
Oh, yes, he was evacuated, yeah. Mm. Yeah, but no trouble, no.
Did you have REMC nearby? Or?
No, you had your own stretcher bearers. There were four stretcher bearers in a company. A company is roughly about 100 men. A platoon is about 30. Well, the other, they were like drivers, stretcher bearers, a company commander's runner and that kind of thing. And it was,
so you were under fire there?
Under mortar fire, yes. And later on, artillery, but I don't think the Germans had much artillery like we had. Oh, no. They had the best tank, but we had the best artillery. Yeah.
So
which we discovered later, yeah.
So how long did you stay in that position?
About 4 days, I should think. Yeah.
What happened then?
We were withdrawn back to prepare for an attack on German positions at, I can't pronounce it very well, it's spelled Kahaya, Carrier. Roughly.
Yes. Right. So you were withdrawn back?
Just a matter of a couple of hundred yards.
Right.
Into reserve slit trenches. Mm-hmm. Rear, to the rear. I can't remember who took over from us. It must have been a Welsh regiment, I think.
So how did you prepare for this attack? What did you actually
do? They had, presumably the officers and that, they had what they called O groups, order groups. They called it O group.
Mm-hmm.
regimental, company, platoon-o groups. Because, as I say, we were pretty green, and we didn't know what an attack involved, a frontal attack.
So, I mean, what was going on at this time? Was more ammunition coming?
Well, yes. You checked your weapons, of course. Well, nothing. We were just in these reserve positions. I mean, as I say, I was only a private soldier rifleman. I had no idea of the bigger picture.
So you were just.
I didn't even have any idea of the platoon plan, let alone the overall plan.
So you were just waiting to be.
Yes, waiting. Yes, just in the reserve position, like in slit trenches. Yeah.
So you'd had casualties in your platoon?
There was something went on. I think it was D Company. They went out on a kind of a standing patrol, I suppose you could call it. They knew that the Germans were coming in darkness. They were coming into their forward slope positions. There must have been a bit of a hail there then. They were coming into their forward slope positions. And so the idea was that they went out and caught them in their forward slope positions, but I think it all went wrong. I think we heard a lot of firing. I went out with my Bren gun pointing up this road up to the corner of the lane, I suppose you call it a lane, was about 100 yards ahead, and I was expecting me and the number two on the Bren gun, the one who carries the magazines, I was expecting the Germans to come round that corner any minute. And I kept on, where are they? Why aren't they coming? Well, can you see them coming around the corner? No. Why aren't they coming? And I was expecting them to come around the corner, and I was already with the Bren gun. But they never came round the corner. They weren't attacking us. And well, I'd have been all right at that time, yeah.
So you were ready for them?
Yeah, I was ready, but they didn't come.
That's the end of Reel 4.